I'm your apology officer, Mia Harkness, and I've been down to the Hutton Infirmary for my winter jags from Nurse Wyeth.
Well, that's a worry. She gave you rabies last time. Anyway, I'm Wilma Fingerdoo, and I just bought a pumpkin helmet from Pioneer Supplies. Speaking of giant helmets...
I'm Sandy Crevice, your tech monkey for the evening, and I've been hiding my nuts.
You're not doing a very good job. I can still see them. I can't think that's hygienic. I'm Norma Snuckers, and I'm knitting a woolly hat to keep my ears warm.
Yeah, I thought that was a dress. Have you mistaken centimetres for inches again? I'm Wang Kier, and I think we'd better move on to the headlines before I get panned.
Rudolph's python has a smashing time.
Lab-grown brain plays Pong in space.
Too hot, too messy, week 10 update.
Anyone seen Norma's T9?
Station sections quarantined after chili cook-off goes wrong.
I look forward to not having to mention Avic.
And I look ahead to the week's community events.
First this evening, we've received reports of scandalous and scurrilous vandalism that has struck the orbital in the last few days. The number one rule of being a Hutton trucker is be excellent to each other. But as Alpha Centauri isn't permit locked, and we're required to welcome all comers, whether from rotten pirate factions in the near area, visiting federal military personnel, or tourists coming to gaze in wonder at the beacon that repeats the words for the mug, over and over. And over again. Now, accidents happen, and truckers themselves are responsible for many of them. Smashing into the pad a little hard and damaging things whilst in a serious hurry to get to Cubicle 3. After all, it's a long flight and many of us have been quaffing the Kitten brand coffee from our mugs en route. Or damaging the pad after a rather over-enthusiastic liftoff whilst trying to escape from Cubicle 3. There are those that ignore the no entry sign over the secret docking entrance, getting the nose of their super imperial space dildo trapped in the toast rack, whilst the bay doors jump off at the front of it like a garbage compactor. However, security forces of Hutton, and for security forces read the Momus Bog Spaniel security detail, are hunting a particularly naughty miscreant who has been causing the most heinous damage to people's pride and joy. Commander Avantayun, also known as this station's very own Rudolph Hooker, got back to his ever-so-purple python last Friday with a view to heading out to do some muggings, to find that someone had smashed in the canopy glass. The piece of meteorite used could be traced back to a nearby mining rig, full of heavy metals. Pythons have very strong canopies, sometimes even able to withstand direct impact with a limpet at over 400 metres per second. However, whoever it was that put this glass in did a proper job, covering the inside of the ship with teensy-weensy little shards of glass. Vantayun employed one of the station's jokingly named Dusty Jr. cleaning robots, who chomped and crunched his way through all of the glass before realising that whoever had smashed the canopy had rifled the glove box, gone through the snack selection, and generally turned the cockpit inside out. They appear to have met their match when they opened his dunnage, which, after weeks away on deep space exploration trip, contained a number of rather soiled flight suits, well-worn socks and grundies, and a number of shirts with mysterious stains down the front of them. Station security have released a description of the wrongdoing, by stating that, judging by the strength required, they'll be 8 foot tall, with a right arm like a basketball pitcher, and, of course, very likely to be looking like they've just stuck their head in the school gym locker and inhaled deeply. Medical teams are on standby to revive them if they are discovered, and the quarantine bay is being prepared. Astro Glass were contacted, Ray the Canopy Repair, but it turns out that only one pane of the glass was broken, and the Python's asymmetrical layout is a problem. They can't repair the ship for a number of weeks. When Van Tien offered to put the other pane in with a hammer so he could get a full replacement under his insurance, he was threatened with arrest for criminal damage.
Scientists have created what is touted as the galaxy's first entirely lab-grown brain capable of playing space pong. A collection of only 1,000 or so artificial brain cells has proven sufficient to be able to pilot a ship up and down at under 100 metres a second in front of a toast rack outside the station. I'll start again. Thank you for the bongs. Scientists have created what is touted as the galaxy's first entirely lab-grown brain capable of playing space pong. A collection of only 1,000 or so artificial brain cells has proven sufficient to be able to pilot a ship up and down at under 100 metres a second in front of a toast rack outside the station and successfully intercept incoming ships. This groundbreaking research is intended to prove quite how little grey matter is needed in order to be officially classed as a station troll. Their research has also shown that the more brain cells are grown in a lab, the worse the little noggin nugget is at intercepting incoming ships. As a side effect of the work, they've realised that anything over 2,000 cells appears to develop a conscience, and instead of ramming incoming ships, actively does its best to avoid them. And at over 3,000, just sits there connected to a visual input, giving out distinctly, ooh, pretty vibes at the passing ships. The Boffins were refused permission to take this experiment any further and actually install some of these biological marvels in ships as a commercial offering, as officials were worried that should they become self-replicating, they might take themselves to a nearby war zone or Hazres and start attacking any passing members of the Pilots' Federation. Rumours that police interceptors around stations had already had such tiny bundles of neurons installed behind the controls are unfounded, as it takes extra special kinds of training to scram a commander with quite that accuracy. Scramming being the descriptor for flying at speed towards an incoming ship with the warrant scanner ticking over before lawn darting into the canopy just to make sure you get a decent reading from the whites of the pilot's eyes.
We have now been going for 10 what seem like quite long weeks with Too Hot Too Messy, the Hutton-led initiative to deliver Hutton mugs and Centauri Megagin to every single station in the galaxy. Why are we doing this? Well, because it's there, and because we can, and well, why not? Commanders have continued to drop off mugs and gin all over the place, and we are approaching 29,000 deliveries. However, once again, delivery numbers are declining, so get stocked up, get involved, and keep the momentum going. Remember, every mug counts, and you may just win a real mug by taking part. 4 more commanders joined the effort this week, taking the total to 209, spread across 72 squadrons, and more are always welcome. Naturally, Hutton commanders are collectively blazing away at the head of the squadron leaderboard, passing 11,500 deliveries in the week. The Wing Hussars are in second with 1,370 muggings, and the Paladins are holding third with 1,250. The quartet of commanders that form the Undead are still in fourth with exactly 800 mugs delivered, and Infinite Dreamer and his one-man squadron is fifth with 616. He who it would be really boring to mention each week, yes, him, he's still out in front now with over 2,500 mugs and gin delivered. Some say that he's upgrading his suits and weapons at the same time. However, he's still being chased down by Nem, who is approaching 2,000 deliveries. As predicted last week, Commander Waller 81 closed the gap with Commander Mouse 8287 and overtook him to third place with 1,400 deliveries. How do we know all this? Well, because it's tracked by the marvel that is the Hutton Helper and updated live on the Too Hot, Too Messy event page at hot.forthemug.com/hotmess2. At this rate, we'll have delivered a canister of Hutton Mugs and Centaurian Megagin to every single station in the galaxy by, well, Christmas. Precisely which Christmas, we aren't going to speculate as we find more and more stations each week. But if everyone leaves it to everyone else, it's clearly going to take much longer. Apart from the glory alone, there is the additional incentive in a real-world gravity-assisted mods-preventing Hutton mug that you can fill with tea, gin, or whatever you like as you happily take Hutton mugs to where no Hutton mug has gone before. Any commander that delivers 10 mugs in a week will be entered into that weekly draw to win a real one, unless, of course, you already have one, in which case you'll have been immunised against mods already. 9 commanders have accomplished this so far. You can see a little golden mug next to their names in the top commanders table. And keep listening for this week's winner to be announced in the waffly bit after the news. How do I join in the fun, I hear you ask? Well, first you need to sign up by downloading the Hutton Helper from hot.forthemug.com/download, where your mug and tin deliveries will be automatically registered for you by Antarius Fusion's magical mathematical hamsters.
Type 9s. You can't miss them. They're big, they're bulky, they haul stuff. They make a huge noise when lifting off. They look heavy, even when they're empty. It was with surprise that we received a message from Commander Flossie simply saying, one of our space cows has gone missing. Flossie had parked it in the station storage facility and popped out in her Dolphin to do a few important deliveries and then returned to find it gone. What's more, the station computer had listed it as sold to the mysterious gentleman from Utopia. Now, Flossie definitely doesn't remember selling it to him. However, station security has footage of him climbing all over it looking for something before loading it onto a flatbed shipping ship, and over to London Relay. The local private investigation branch of the Knitting Nannies Detective Agency set off in hot pursuit of the stolen ship in a sidewinder and sidecar, complete with goggles for the pilot, after overhearing a comment about a hidden microfilm for a secret recipe. The Pilots Federation were informed and an exciting chase worthy of having its own film ensued, with the Knitting Nannies, police forces and a number of ninjas, all with their own agenda, attempting to stop that space cow now. The good news is that the ship was found hidden under some space biology by Mrs. Figgis, geography school trip with Class 6A, and the ship has been duly returned to Flossie. What became of the mysterious utopian, the nannies, the school kids or the ninjas is yet to be discovered. Of course, Flossie, being the busy bee that she is, hadn't spotted it being has been returned until the survey arrived from the shipping company asking how she rated her service.
Sections of the orbital had to be closed off and vented into space earlier today after Commander Palantir harvested his latest crop of Ucheng chilies from his private retirement plot in the orbital's agricultural section and decided to try his hand at making Ucheng chili sauce for a forthcoming Galnet Rares dinner and dance in a few weeks. It appears that A. He's got green fingers and the crop was very successful. B. His green fingers turned red after handling the chilies. C. He forgot how strong the chilies were. D. The batch he put on the hob to cook into a sauce set off the biohazard chemical attack warnings on the station. And E. He made the mistake of popping to cubicle 3 after chopping the chilies and didn't wash his hands first. The screams from the cubicle could be heard throughout the station. The cloud of toxic Ucheng chili fumes started eating away the window seals. Commander Palantir was rushed to the infirmary with second-degree self-inflicted chili pain to parts of his anatomy that haven't been that red or swollen since he was a much younger man. A few of the maintenance team were rushed in alongside him after they breathed in the fumes. Floor mopping guy is said to be okay, though, as a lifetime of cleaning out Cubicle 3 has left him immune to almost all biological toxins. That, and he wears proper hazmat equipment. Commander Palantir's patented Ucheng chili sauce, degreaser, and cleaning agent is available from all good stockists. Please do read the safety warning on the bottle before applying it to anything.
Well, hasn't it been a week of variety in Hutton Space? Though not the Wotherdude and Beetlesporoon variety, but lots of different stuff. We are still pawning a star for a friend, have an ongoing famine, we seem to have irritated an orifice in need of treatment, and Sirius are up to their old tricks, which, let's be frank, is becoming more than tedious. More on those stories coming up. Who would have thought that once again Barnard's star is not bottom of the pile, nor even the next to bottom either? Further, low system on the pole isn't even LHS 450 this week, although pedants can dismiss this as a technicality, which, if you recall from last week, we are pawning for another faction, which is lying low on 32. Now it's poor little Avik on 28, recovering from a war with Sirius and suffering an infrastructure failure last week, when not able to boost sufficient influence to avoid yet another war with Sirius. Well, being versed in wars with Sirius has served Avik well, and currently are the winning 2-0 and need just two more days of victories to see them secure. For how long is a matter of debate, as we have learned, and it would not be long before Li Yongri and his minions will be back for another try. If you recall last week, one of our friendly factions, the Gilgamesh Corps Orbital Protection, overreached themselves and were faced with an awkward 2 much month left at the end of the money. Consequently, their influence in LHS 450 plummeted, and as a result, the markets lost confidence in their ability to pay their growth bills. Nevertheless, Hutton gladly stepped in and offered a pawnbroker service where we took charge of the star system, carefully looking after it until Gilgamesh were able to summon their funds, come back with their ticket, and take the system out of hock. Here at Hutton, we'll happily pawn stars systems for anyone, which is sufficiently friendly and until you can manage to get it up again. I mean your economy, of course. So, once we have won in Avik, keep an eye on LHS 450, and even if you have to risk a bit of awkwardness at Alvin's next garden party, make sure Hutton loses and that LHS 450 goes back to Gilgamesh. Enjoying an extended period of smugness and enjoying a week off from its regular slot at the bottom of the pile due to the war in Avik is Barnard's star, now on a reassuring 36. 10 fleets have just lost Clark Terminal in another war, sorry Hanky, and another civil war is just starting, tying up 20% of the influence. But it's a reasonable week to try to improve Hutton's margin. The great deal we got from Honest Dave with his passing Fleet Carrier Emporium sounded too good to be true, and it will come as no surprise that it was. Those dodgy water purifiers we bought and fitted throughout the stations in PSPF-LF2 have all clogged up with mould, fungus and some disgusting green stuff new to science, and the batteries on Honest Dave's vibrating cleaning resonators have gone flat. It looks like Piss Flaps has got thrush. Shipping water purifiers and power generators in plain brown wrappers to rectify the situation. The famine that we reported last week in LP525-39 is still raging, so urgently ship in food and dump exploration data to get the system back on its feet. Further, the situation has deteriorated. Further, the situation has deteriorated so badly that civil unrest has broken out in several stations. Handing bounties to help quell the uneasiness in the population. At the overachieving end of the Hutton systems table, we have just 2 systems above 60%, and thankfully we aren't looking to expand anywhere soon. Priorities this week are, if you want to truck something, ship food or dump exploration data into LP525-39 to clear the famine, and ship in either power generators or water purifiers or both, to PSPF-LF2 if you want to shoot something, win the war in Avic against Sirius, and once that's achieved, make sure Hutton lose the war in LHS 450 to Gilgamesh Orbital Protection Corps.
Only one update this week from Commander the Presence. Does the stun still rise in the east? In the east. Final entry, week 32. It seems only fitting I start my final journal with an image of a sun setting in the west as I look back over the last 7.5 months' sojourn. I'd like to thank a lot of people. Commanders Palantir, Yunago, Silver Taffer, the Huntsman, and all the others without whom none of this would have been necessary. It also seems right and somewhat fitting that I discovered another crashed Thargoid sensor out in the boondocks. Miles and miles from anywhere, a Thargoid Thargoid sensors out in the boondocks, miles and miles from anywhere the Thargoid should be, but that is indeed what has happened. Does it mean anything? When Thargoid Titans, Thargon Swarms and on foot bugs are a thing, will we even care? For myself, I don't have any particular wish to go back to the bubble anytime soon, especially not before November. I was more than happy to meet my carrier out in the sticks to experience my first carrier jump from the viewing lounge, near the captain's chair, to bring me back to Kojira. I didn't make my target of 5,000 exobiology scans, but I am close enough not to be disheartened, and it is well within reach. Just not yet, I've worn my Dysonator down to a nub, and it needs a good rest. I also want to soak my weary feet in a hot bath not made from recycled urine, go mining, play with power regulators, and fly something that isn't a DBX. Got one for sale if anyone is interested. Only got 400,000 light years on the clock. May need a lick of paint. So with a picture of Flossie on my carrier restroom table and one of Commander Chicks on my dartboard, it's time for me to say, sod this, not doing this again in a hurry. TTFN Commanders 07. This is the last report from Does the Sun Still Rise in the East in the East? So, unless anyone has any further reports of their events, we could be a bit short of material next week. Do you have an event going on or due to start shortly? Why not let us know of the details by joining our Discord and posting them in the Hash Correspondence channel so it can be included?